Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
Why didn't Jesus sin? I mean, why didn't he sin? He could have sinned. Why didn't it? Because sin was not attractive to him. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves." Would you underline that? Avenge not yourselves. Boy, that's a tough thing. There are some people you'd like to slap, tell the truth. You just thought of them right now when I said that. But God says, avenge not yourself. First, he says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath." Now, that ain't easy neither. "For it is written, vengeance is mine." No, Lord, let it be mine. You take too long. Ever notice that God takes too long? He waits till somebody repent and want no vengeance at all. He says, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay." Come on, no, Jesus. I'll repent tomorrow. Let me do the payment tonight. No, he says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." Or he says, "I will repay, saith the Lord." Verse 20. "Therefore," I like what Brother Hagin says. Anytime there's a therefore in the Bible, find out what it's there for. He said that years ago. It really blessed me. "Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, kill him." No, he didn't say that, did he say that? No. It said, "Feed him." You got to be kidding me. Somebody cutting your guts out, you going to call him up and invite him to dinner? You going to go to a chemical country person and get you some stuff to put in their food? No, he said, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him vinegar to drink." No. "Give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." That's the only thing I've agreed with God in them first verses right there. Thank you, Jesus. We're finally going to do something. Watch this. But he goes back and says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Title of this message tonight is "Living Clean in a Dirty World." Write that down. Living clean in a dirty world. This is a dirty world. Yet God expects us to live clean in it. But Lord, it's not easy. There's scriptures in the Bible very hard to receive. "Bless those that persecute you." You've got to be kidding me. "Pray for those that despitefully use you." Okay, Lord, I'm going to pray. Jesus, kill them all, Jesus. No, you can't pray like that. Those are scriptures are very hard. "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." So the Lord said, I have the ability to live clean in a dirty world. Yes. Now, I see some people mess up sometime and they start lying. I couldn't help myself. Lie, you fry. You can help yourself by simply saying no. If somebody makes a hit on you tonight, lady, say, "What's happening, mama?" You look at them and say, "Nothing." Well, that took care of that, didn't it? It's like I had a preacher friend of mine one time. He's having a problem with lust. Lust, lust. Boy had a problem with lust. He said, "What do you think I should do?" Because he was telling me about a certain woman. He's looking at ain't just lust, though. He's just getting on his case bad. He said, "What should I do, Brother Jesse?" I said, "Tell your wife. She'll stop it." She can shut it down in a second. Women can handle lust, especially for another woman. Shut it down. He went, "Oh, no, I can't do that." I said, "Well, then you'll lose if you don't. Just go tell your wife I'm having thoughts about this woman. You won't think for about 3 weeks. And that woman, you'll never see her again." Glory to God. "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Living clean in a dirty world. God said I can live clean. See, I never let a principle in my life become a temptation. I made up my mind. Now, you got to understand, Brother Jesse was a very sinful man before I was saved. Oh, my God. I want to tell you something. I said it last night on a TV program with President Roberts. I said, when I got saved, the devil cried. He literally cried. He said, "We have lost a great man today." This boy, I've been called a heathen since I'm a baby. My mama would introduce me as her heathen boy. This is my oldest son, Wayne, my youngest son, Mark. I have one daughter, Deborah, and this is my heathen boy, Jesse. I've been drinking since I was 5 years old. I used to go to school and they thought I had Kool-Aid. In my thermos, I had slow gin. I mean, by 2:30, man, I was walking. Yay! Wow! I smoked enough dope to pollute Tulsa. Drank enough booze to fill up your rivers. I was a sinful man. Never saw an ugly woman in my life. I didn't care if you're black, brown, green, fat, ugly. But I drink enough, you got beautiful. I took trips and never left my house. Whoa! But I made a lot of money in the process. I was a rock musician. In fact, tomorrow night I'm going to play this thing. If it's all right with y'all. Y'all come tomorrow night, I'll play some stuff for you. I did all that stuff. But you know, Jesus loved me anyway. I was christened a Catholic. I was baptized a Baptist. You don't think that's culture shock? My dad got full of the Holy Ghost and I hadn't understood him since. Daddy spoke in tongues. I had a hard time understanding English. Everybody I knew believed in healing was sick. I said, you believe in healing? Yeah. Well, what you sick for? Well, you never know what the Lord gonna do. When the Lord get ready. I said, he better hurry up because you gonna die, boy. People that I knew believed in prosperity were broke. Didn't make any sense to me. People that believed in love was mad at somebody about something. That's really the truth. You went to church to put a burden down and they burden you up. Bless God. Oh, Jesus. I mean, my God, you went to church feeling good. You came out feeling bad. Should have stayed home. You went to church. Hey, by the time you got out, bam, beep, bam, beep. Oh, Jesus, I'm suffering for Jesus here. Man, if I can just make it till... You know, we laugh, but that's true. And we said they told us we had to sin every day, so we did. Well, you know, you just got to sin every day. Not the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible said we've all sinned, but it doesn't say we're all sinners. There's something inside of you can stop sin. How do you do it? I'll tell you exactly how you do it. Is sin attractive to you? Why didn't Jesus sin? I mean, why didn't he sin? He could have sinned. Why didn't he? Because sin was not attractive to him. See, if sin is attractive to you, you got a problem. Let me just say this. Do you hate sin? Most people don't. Back in the 80s, we had some pretty heavy religious scandals. I asked one of those leaders, I said, you know what your problem is? You don't hate sin. Oh, yes, I do. I said, no, you don't. You hate what sin does to you. You hate the wages of sin, but you don't hate sin because if you hate something, you don't mess with it. If you hate broccoli, I promise you, you will not eat it. But you see, you don't hate it. And sin is attractive to you. And when it becomes attractive to you, that becomes a temptation to you. Yeah, but I'm just natural. No, you're not. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. You're born again. You ought to be receiving the things of God. You see what I'm saying? See, you can kick all the excuses out. God said you can live clean in a dirty world. So returning evil for evil. You know, I mean, I was born on the streets of New Orleans. Now, it ain't like Tulsa. Do you understand? When you go to Detroit or you go to New York or you go to L.A. or East L.A., born in East L.A., I was. You're talking about, I'm talking tough town, you understand? City of New Orleans, city of New York, the five boroughs of New York. You go to Detroit. I'm going to tell you something. I mean, you know, you got to survive. It ain't like Tulsa. Bless God, how y'all doing today? Tell you one thing, bless God. No, you go to New York, to Harlem, yo, I'm going to tear your head off, yo. What you doing in my neighborhood, man? It's called survival. You don't ask anybody for something, you take it. You make them an offer. You can't refuse. It's called a city. You ever seen anybody going to a barbecue in New York? No! You don't go to barbecues. Hey, how you doing? You say, man, they'll look at you. You go, hey, how you doing? What you want? You want some of me? What? Well, no, man, I don't want nothing. Just wanted to say hi. Hi what? I got high last night. It's another world. So when you return evil for evil, think about somebody done something bad for you. Returning evil for evil puts the energy of your will and the capacity of your intellectual ingenuity on evil side. Never become the slave to your enemy. You see, not that you want to strike back, but you can't. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. When I see, I'm hearing all this stuff, I don't like it. I hate it because I'm wondering what is the word. Now, it happened. This is the second time this has happened in my life. 1974, we had Watergate. Now, when I had brown hair in them days, I could care less. I got saved on Labor Day weekend, 1974, so I didn't care what Nixon did. That could make a lick of difference to me. Just get out of my face, because Vietnam was chasing me. I got out of high school in 1967. I graduated from high school on May the 31st, 1967. I wasn't even 18 yet, because I made 18 July the 9th. I got out on June the 2nd. I got a letter from the government. Hello! Gentlemen, I want you to report to the New Orleans Custom House for a physical for induction in the Army. I wrote them back. I said, I'm not 18. Well, by the time you take this physical, you will be. Do you like rice? Rice? Why? Because that's where you're going, son. Some call it Nam, Nam. We call it Viet. Not V8, Viet. Then nobody would give you a job because, man, that's the way it's going to be. You go do this. This is part of it. What are we fighting for? Hey, man, we don't know, man. Now, you got to understand, Brother Jesse knows that I was a hippie. I had long hair. And when people would say fight, I went, whoa, man, whoa, chill, man. You need to smoke this. Yeah. I said, I can stop this wall, man. Just get them a big stogie. I think we'll stop the wall, man. Ain't nobody going to fight nobody. I was full of the devil. See, I didn't understand that. In fact, I had a colonel tell me, boy, if you can get out of this, get out of this. Because his boy was killed in Vietnam. He said, we can't win this war and all kinds of stuff. So it was a really rough time in America's evolution. See, and you know why I didn't go to church? Because church people didn't live for God. Not the ones I knew. I would take my grandmothers. They were wonderful. I had one 4'11" and the other one was 4'9". I'm talking two little bitty women. But I had the two best grandmothers any man would ever have. Now, you got to understand I was a heathen, but they loved me. They said, Jesse, you're going to hell. I know. She said, you're such a little heathen. I said, I know. But, you know, they went to a church where they didn't wear makeup. I'm talking ugly people, gag a maggot ugly. You understand? I didn't want to go over there. I didn't like that church. She said, why don't you marry one of the girls in the church? And I used to say this, I'm going amongst the Philistines. I want me a Delilah. Talk to me, mama. Give me a Delilah. And my grandmother would just freak. Oh, Jesus, take us home. I said, take them home, Lord. Take them two little women home. Because at that church, everything was a sin. I mean, you understand? I was Christian confirmed a Catholic boy. My dad told me to go to a youth group one time. We were going on a little picnic or something, you know, and they said they were going to go swimming. And then they told me, hey, we don't believe in mixed bathing. I said, well, I prefer my own water myself. See, how many of y'all used to have to take a bath in your sister's water? You remember that? I hated you did that. I hated that. I said, look, Mom, I don't want to take a bath. My brother, my sister, let me take my own. He said, no, Jesse, you don't understand this. You can't swim with girls. Can't swim with girls. This ain't Tulsa, ladies and gentlemen. This is New Orleans. Not New Orleans. This is New Orleans. I said, why? He said, well, we don't let them wear bathing suits. Ooh, I like this church. Wow. Woo! Where they swimming at? He said, no, they can't. They wear dresses. Dresses? Now, what does a dress do when it gets in water? It lifts up holy hymns unto the Lord. I like this church. But you know what I didn't understand? These are holy girls. This is holy people. So I tried to appease my grandmother a couple of times. They got excited because I asked this girl named June. I said, would you like to go get a Coke or something? Yeah. And boy, my grandmother said, oh, God, Jesus, Lord. Oh, Lord, my grandson asked little June. She's so wonderful. She's such a blessing from the Lord. A Christian. They were so excited. I took June, got her a Coke or whatever. So, you know, we got a little hamburger or something like that. I said, well, what do you do with a Christian girl? I was used to Delilah's, you know. I wasn't used to Christian girls. I was used to the dice. Hey, what's happening, mama? Yeah. You know, get down with your bad self. You know, that's the way I was used. I said, she said, well, what do you want to do? She said, what do you normally do? I said, you don't want to know what I normally do. She said, no, what do you normally do? I said, well, there's a cane field back here. Look at Kathy, I'll kiss you. Hey, she said, well, what do you want? You want to just go park? You want to do more than park? Anybody can park. But I thought, well, she's a Christian girl. So I said, well, you know, she's going to talk about the Lord or something. Boy, she put a double lip lock on me like to suck my head off. Does that shock you? She's supposed to be living clean. In a dirty world. I'm a dirty man. I knew I was a sinner. She didn't know she was. That confused me. I'm telling you, she was like a little magnet. What? Man, it shook me. I pushed. I said, what's the matter? Aren't you a Christian? When you're speaking in tongues and all that stuff? She said, yeah, but I like you. Man, but I used to hear my mama say, you ever touch one of them Christian girls? Fire come down from heaven. Kill you, you little heathen from hell. I said, I'm taking you home, girl. I'll get you home. You home. I took that girl home. I went over to Kathy's house. No, you didn't know me. No. That's my wife. She didn't know me then. Kathy was a good person. She was a sinner, but she was a good. Look at her. I kid you. She was a good sinner. She was good. On my first day with her, I thought, hey, you don't know until you try. So I'm driving the car, and I let my hand nonchalantly slip off the steering wheel, footman hit her leg like this. She slapped my hand. I said, excuse me, it's a habit. She said, break it. Whoa! I felt like asking her, you know my grandma's? And my grandmother been talking to you? I took that girl home, and I swore I'd never walk into another church again. My point is this. She should have been living clean. I saw preachers fighting. I thought, well, wait a minute. You can't go to that church because that's not the right church. Well, since when your church was the right church? And how come that church got way more people than your church since yours is the right church? And if it's the right church, how come you can't pay the light bill? And if God's there, where is he? My point is this, never become the slave of your enemy. You are his master. But you see, they told me, well, you just got to sin every day. No, you don't. You know how you stop sinning every day? You control your mind. How do you do that? Fill your mind with things that are beautiful and truthful, and evil will find no place in you. Let me say that again, if you're writing notes. Fill your mind with things that are beautiful and truthful, and evil will find no place in you. Philippians 4, verse 8. Think on these things, whatsoever lovely, just, good report, pure, virtue, whatever. So when something comes in my mind that's not lovely, just, good report, pure, I go, oh, no, shut down. That is not beautiful and that is not fruitful or truthful. I'll not have it be, my mind will not be a garbage field for Satan to throw garbage in. That's how you live clean in a dirty world. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's when you become part of the garbage. You understand what I'm saying? And most people are not repentant. They just repented that they got caught. See, now when you get caught, everybody gets humble. No. God said you can live clean in a dirty world. But how do we expect our president to live clean when our preachers are not living clean? Why would we jump on our president to be our moral leader when, my God, you got Christians divorcing anytime they feel like it, get tired of somebody? Oh, bless God, the churches are falling out over adultery, fornication, financial wrongdoing. Well, my God, we should be an example. And when we had all the religious scandals, it seemed like every preacher wanted to grab that limelight. Let me be on Nightline. Let me be on Nightline. ABC, we are here. For what? You mean to tell me you're going to let the devil judge you? Let me tell you what he's going to tell you. Guilty. But my God, we can just get some of that publicity. For what? You see what I'm saying? That's spiritual pride. Fill your mind with things that are beautiful and truthful, and evil will find no place in you. See, if you spend time producing and preserving the truth, oh, no, wait, let me just say this. Spend time producing and preserving the truth instead of slashing the false. I am not a carpenter. I can't build a house, but I can tear one down. Don't take no talent to tear one down. I can tear this maybe center down by myself. I can do it. I just blow this sucker up. It don't take much. Drive a truck of dynamite and hit and run. But to build this thing, it takes an architect, a contractor, money, 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 money. I'm paying for these lights. Money. It takes somebody with some talent. See, so I have people all the time ask me to use the power that God has given me to hurt people. And that's through that camera. You know, if you're on television, like, people respect you, especially if they think you're a nice person. But just what do you think about this? Well, it doesn't make no difference what I think about it. It's what God says about it. See, I don't use the word of God for personal advantage. I learned that from Jesus. The devil told him one time, why don't you turn that stone into bread? You're hungry, aren't you? Hungry? Sure, he could have turned the whole mountain into a loaf of bread with a log of butter running down the valley. That wasn't the issue. Why didn't he do it? He would not use the word of God for personal advantage. And then the devil said, well, let's deal with his ego. Hey, you looking for a kingdom? Want a kingdom? Yeah. I got a kingdom. I tell you what you do. Just bow down to me. Don't tell nobody. Just between me and you. Run it like you want. Because whosoever I give it to, it says. That's in the Bible. What did Jesus say? No. Watch this. Never associate yourself with a wicked person, even for the attainment of a good end. You'd be surprised how many ministries do that. Well, you know, that guy got a lot of money. You know, he got a lot of money. When the Bible says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Did somebody forget that?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a great partner offer for you this week. It's called The Wonder of Forgiveness. You are going to learn three different ways we can regard God's divine forgiveness. Number one, impossible. Number two, pardon. And number three, celebration. God not only saved you and forgave you, he also said that he remembers them no more. This will bless you. How do I get it? You go to jdm.org. In honor of our 50th year of ministry, we're releasing our anniversary copy of my first book, The Ministry of Cheerfulness.
Yes, it's time for you to be filled up with the supernatural joy of Jesus. Order your physical copy or digital download today with your donation amount of $5 or more at jdm.org.
Listen, joy matters, so get this special edition of The Ministry of Cheerfulness and start walking in joy every single day. Ladies and gentlemen, God says that you can live clean in a dirty world. And it doesn't have to be complicated. Now, let me say this for just a minute. This here, I preached this many years ago. It had to be preached again because the world is going to hell in a handbasket. You see what's happening out there. And a lot of preachers are messing up and all kinds of stuff. But we can live clean in a dirty world. That's why I wanted to preach that, even though I'm a lot older today than I was when I preached that. But I'm telling you, God's word is true. How do you do that? You fill your mind with things that are beautiful and truthful, and evil will find no place in you. Now, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says this, whatsoever things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, think on these things. In other words, you combat thoughts with thoughts. And yet the Bible says, take no thought saying. When you say a thought, it becomes yours. But if you don't say it, it dies unborn. It aborts itself. So, man, I hope you're enjoying this message. I want you to go to our free JDM app. You can watch this message in full, and it will minister greatly to you. Our product offer, I love this, the first book I ever wrote called The Ministry of Cheerfulness. This is our 50-year anniversary edition, and I encourage you to get a copy. In this crazy world, we need to be hold on to the joy of the Lord. This book will bless you. How do I get it? You can order it at jdm.org. All our different information is there. Partners, thank you for your faithful financial support. We are going to reach people and are reaching people, changing lives one soul at a time. Can't do it without you. 50 years of ministry have never had a financial deficit. Let me say it again. I trust you. You trust me. We both trust God. That's why it happens. And you get ready for a blessing because that anointing of increase is on this boy. The 100-fold, I'm believing that for you. So my God, thank you for your faithful financial support. And if you're not a partner, pray about becoming one. The joy of the Lord will bless you greatly. Till next week, Jesse saying, I love you. Bye-bye.
And we've been to Australia, we've been to Europe, just preaching the gospel everywhere. Just going all over preaching the gospel. Jesus! And how can they hear lest they have a preacher? Letting the world forget the words of God. And the only way they're going to do that is with voices and people like me and you. That's why I'm on television all the time. That's why I'm trying to get as much television time as I can. Not so many more people can see who I am, but I am interested in building God's kingdom to such a degree that the world will see who He really is. Come on, it's time.
In Jesus.
Kathy Duplantis's Glorious, a conference for women.
Women are not second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. Jesus came and set us all free.
Glorious, a conference for women, March 6th and 7th, 2026. For more information and free registration, go to jdm.org.
Are you ready to revive your spiritual life? My book, The Power of Prayer, is loaded with personal stories and biblically based principles that will equip you to start enjoying the abundant life Jesus died to give to you. You can tap into a clear line of communication with God that will reveal His plan for your life. Never underestimate the power of your faith-filled prayers to unlock the gates of heaven and provide for your victory. The Power of Prayer. Order your copy at jdm.org.
Every day, I'm going to say something I can't do. That's your faith voice talking. Spiritual, physical, financial. Look what Jesus said. The work that I do, do it greater.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.